Welcome, everybody. It's great to have a few visitors as well here tonight. Trusting you're going to enjoy it with us and have been enjoying it with us. I just thank God for such a wonderful bunch of people doing the worship. It's just amazing. They're talented and they love God, and it's just really special. So thank you, guys. That's really awesome. I want to continue on my message. I'm part of a bit busy with a series, Not Loving Our Lives. This is number 3. And last week I shared a bit about the tongue, about the mouth, and the power of the tongue. And yeah, I must apologize to you tonight. Sort of those wonderful things of life. You know, it doesn't always get so easy to come to the point of a Sunday evening that you have the message. Sometimes I really struggle. I wrestle it through with God. I really want to share what's in God's heart. I don't want to just come and give you a nice message. I really want to say what God is wanting to speak to His people. And so I've been wrestling this weekend. And this week, in a sense, I've been walking on the beach, and I don't know what to do anymore. Then I go jog, and then I don't want to do that. I walk again, and then I pray some more, and then I struggle a bit some more. And so this evening, I want to disturb you a bit tonight. I want to disturb you because I believe God wants to disturb us sometimes out of our complacency, out of our comfort zone. He wants to disturb us. So I'm going to primarily speak to believers or Christians today. So if you don't really believe in God, I don't know if it's going to, I hope it's going to speak to you in any case, but I'm primarily speaking to believers tonight. And also then primarily members of this church. So if you're a visitor, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. If God speaks to you, wonderful. And I believe God is wanting to disturb us because just something that happens in this world that causes the world to be changed is when a person gets up unhappy about something. It's like you're disturbed. You're saying, I don't like this. I don't like the current state of things. I'm not happy with this. I'm not going to take it. You know, that's a wonderful song about that. We're not gonna take it. Okay? So we're gonna sing that later. We're not, that's also sort of introducing it. So we're gonna start worshiping it later. We're not gonna take it. And so I wanna share with you a little bit of what shouldn't we be taking? What should we be disturbed about? Revelation 12, verse 11, that's sort of the theme scripture that I've been using for the last 6 weeks, basically. It says, and they overcame him, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives to the death. This simple little statement, I really don't feel, you know, you struggle through the weekend and you're thinking, God, I don't know if I can preach this message tonight, because it's not real in my own life yet. And I like to preach stuff that I apply. So I'm preaching to myself this evening. But they did not love their lives unto death. Something that is critical for changing the world in a sense, or changing our own lives in a sense, is to overcome, is to not love our lives. But I'm going to explain. Okay, so I want to take you back a few years and sort of give you a key. It's one point I want to make. I want to give you a key of how it started with me. About when I was a first year at university, I came to a shofar church. I became a believer, committed my life to God. And so I started to go to small group, and I went to church. But I didn't really connect with these people. They were like very different. They were like excited about something. And I wasn't excited. I was like, huh, on what planet are you guys? I remember the one evening I went to this one hostel. I spoke to this lady, and she came to know God just a little bit before me. And we were talking. She was talking about, how awesome God is and how wonderful He is. I remember turning away and walking away and thinking, I'm not relating to this. I'm not there. But something changed over time. I wasn't there, but over time, I sort of got there. I got something. But there's something that needs to happen in between. How does somebody that is not on fire for God, or how does somebody that is not clicking it, how does somebody that is not mature in God become mature? How? I want to tell you tonight how I think. How? How does it happen? Well, what happened to me was I was still very much in the world. I was still drinking quite a bit and messing around. And then I was also going to church. So I had one leg in the world, one leg in the church. And then this one guy came to me and he asked me, would you like to become a part of the social committee of the church? And I thought, yes. I can't pray. I'm not very holy. I'm quite useless, to be quite honest. But social, come on. This I can do. So I was in there in the committee, and I started to make some friends. And so something started to happen. Then I became involved with a choir. And there, as some of you would know, and there I met or saw the love of my life. So I got something there as well. Choir, place to be. And then it went a little bit further. But it took a few years before the love of my life became the love of my life. But then at the end of my first year, it was middle of my first year at university. And then by the end of that year, I went to do what they call in Afrikaans, stranddienste, or beach outreach or beach services. And so I went to this beach outreach thing. And at the time, I was still a completely clueless Christian. Clueless Christian, that's what you call me, clueless. I was dating the cook of the team, and I sort of said the relationship is over in the middle of this outreach. And so unfortunately, I couldn't go to the kitchen anymore. She could have killed me. So anyway, so praise God, Sonica, my wife now, she actually stood in for me and did my kitchen duty. That's wonderful, you know, so it was prophetic. And anyway, but something over that period of 6 months, something started to happen when I did this simple little thing. This is the key. This is the key. You only get it when you give it. You only get it when you give it. Or another way of putting it, the correct positioning will improve your heart's conditioning. Basically, what I'm saying is, as I started to give a little bit of myself, I just positioned myself in the right place, and I just gave a little bit of myself. Suddenly, something started to click on the inside of me. As I remember the first time I shared with somebody what God had done in my life, something happened there. Like, wow, yes, God did that in my life. And at this outreach thing at the end of my first year, I did a funny skit thing and whatever. But I started to step out. I started to give. And I realized you only get it when you give it. That's why so many believers never become mature, never become on fire for God, because they're not giving. If I only sat in church and I only maybe came to small group, I wouldn't have grown. But then I did the outreach thing. Then I went to missions, short-term missions. I went to Tanzania. And then I went to Angola. And I went to Turkey. And I went. But I was just giving. You don't have to go far away. But I was just starting to give of myself. And I started to get it. I started to click what this Christian thing is all about. Okay, but so that is sort of my point for the evening. You only get it when you give it. I'm going to explain to you from Scripture how that actually works. Okay. So the right position will improve our condition. So it's sort of a phase, a process that happens that I want to explain to you. You see, God doesn't from the start ask of us big sacrifices. He just says, okay, now just give you a little step. And then you give another step and another step. And so you move over till God says, okay, now for the big one. And so there's a process, but it starts off with the right positioning. Okay, the right position will improve our condition. So question, why don't so many people give of themselves, of their lives? Why don't many people give? Okay, now, I also need to explain, I'm not sharing this because there's a lack of commitment in the church. I want to commend everybody for the level of commitment, the level of giving in every way. It is amazing. So praise God. Okay, give yourself a hand. Thank you. Okay, woohoo. Okay, but I feel God is disturbing me, so I'm going to try and disturb you tonight. Okay, if that's okay with you. Great. Okay, so why don't we give? Okay, I think there's a few reasons. Reason number one, why people don't give of themselves. I'm not talking about finances now. I'm just talking about giving of themselves. Number one is a lack of understanding. I believe we do not understand how hugely different the kingdom of God is from any other institution, from any other organization, from any other kingdom in the world. The kingdom is completely different. The kingdom of God is completely different from anything else. You see, in the world, you can bribe yourself in. You can compete yourself in. You can work really, really hard for it. In the kingdom of God, you can't. You can't buy yourself in. You need to die yourself in. D-I-E. You need to die yourself in. This is weird, I know, but the scriptures speak about it over and over and over again. I'm often astounded when I read the scriptures, I'm thinking, whoa. And we go to your general Christianity and think, whoa, there's a big gap here. Yeah, we all think Jesus is just loving, nice guy. Hey, you know, he's just nice guy. If you go read what he said, it will disturb you. If you literally read and take it serious what he says. But you can't buy yourself into the kingdom, but you can die yourself into the kingdom. In the kingdom, to be first, you need to be last. That's what Jesus said. He wants to be the greatest. He wants to be first. In the world, you want to be first, be the CEO, be the man, be number one. In the kingdom of God, be number two or number 10. How does it work? I don't know. But I'm disturbed. To be first, you shall be last of all and servant of all. It's a weird thing. But for where God has taken me through the years, I finished my degree at University of Stellenbosch, and then I went into the full-time ministry. And then at the time when I went into ministry, I was like, God, I just want to do anything for you. Anything. Just doesn't matter what. I just want to carry stuff around for you. And so I did. Glories of ministry. Carried stuff around for quite a while. But over time, then you get ambitious. Then you want to go for it. Now you want to go big. And so then, so self stands up again. And in all its glory. And then God needs to come and break that down again. Then you come to a place again where I did. Before I came to East London, I was in a place where I said, God, I don't care what I do. I don't care what I do. Lord, if it's the usher at the door, if it's some admin in the office, or it's preaching, I just want to be a part of what you're doing. I just want to be a part of what you're doing, God. Wherever you place me, I just want to be a part of it. Don't want to do my own thing. I just want to do what you want me to do. But I realized something on the inside of me died. And then then I stepped into the kingdom. The measure of our success is not how we rule, but how we serve. True greatness is not defined by high position, but by sacrificial service. The kingdom of God is way, it's upside down or right side up. In the world, it's the business people, the lots of money, the influence. They're the big kahunas, the big guys. They're the guys. I mean, they're big. They're going for it. In the kingdom of God, it's completely different. I don't know how it works, but I think one day when you and I get to heaven, we will be shocked. We're going to say, no, I can't believe he is right up front. Did you see who's right at the back? You won't believe it. The big pastor with the big ministry, he's right at the back. And the dunny right in front. God, this is offending. But I really believe we're going to be shocked one day about who will receive from God Almighty good and faithful servant. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord. The kingdom is different. The kingdom is different. And we need to click it. And another kingdom principle. In the world it says, take what you can, hold on to what you can, and get more. In the kingdom it says, it's only when you give it that you're going to get it. If you hold on, you're going to lose it. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give it, you're going to get it. If you give it. So the kingdom is completely upside down. Okay, so that's one reason I believe why people then give of themselves. They don't understand how the kingdom works. They don't understand how God rewards. And the second one, excuses. We were praying on Monday evening and Sonica, my wife, had this word about excuses. And it just spoke to me. Think about this. We're all like Moses in a certain sense. God Almighty, He comes down out of heaven. He has seen the plight of His people. For 400 years, it says the cries of the people of Israel, they were in slavery in Egypt, and they were crying out to God, saying, God, save us. God, deliver us. Lord, set us free. And then it says, and God heard, and He remembered. And so what does He do? He storms into Egypt, and He delivers them. No. He goes looking for a man. He goes looking for a man so He can get this person disturbed with Him. Because God was disturbed. He was upset about the plight of the people, but now He needs somebody to partner with Him that can also be disturbed. And so He went to the backside of the desert and He found Moses there, and God appeared in this burning bush and He said, Moses, go. Go to My people and go save them. Deliver them. I'm hearing their suffering. I need you to go. And what does Moses do? He makes excuses. But listen, there's four different excuses that he makes. Excuse number one, he says, but God, who am I? I'm a nobody. I cannot do anything. Lord, who am I? How many of us say that same thing? God, but who am I? I can't do anything. I can't change it. I can't. Lord, who am I? Anybody been using that excuse lately? Okay. Who am I? What was God's answer? He says, no, it's not who you are. It is who I am. It's who God is. God says, I am the great I am. So Moses, it's not who you am. I know that's wrong. It's not who you am. It is who I am. I am. That is the focus. So that's the one excuse. The second excuse, then Moses said, okay, fine. But suppose, what if I go now and I tell them God sent me and they say, we don't believe you. But suppose, Lord, suppose it doesn't work, Lord. Suppose it doesn't work. And then God answers him and says to him, give them these signs. Stop your complaining, your excuses. And then after God showed him these miracle signs, then he responds again and says, but God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And now God is really getting frustrated with him. And he said, Moses, I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. Anybody in the house ever said that? God, I can't speak before people. Anybody? Anybody? Most of us. I was there. Another excuse. And God saying, Moses, who made your mouth? Who can do miracles in your mouth? I can. And then the fourth excuse. Oh God, please send somebody else. He says, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. God, I've heard you. I know you're the great I am. And I hear you. You know, wow, signs and wonders. And wow, Lord, so you're going to give me the words. Wonderful. But God, please send somebody else. I think that's a beautiful description of Christianity. Most of us, excuse after excuse after excuse. And now this burning bush, praise God, it was a burning bush. It sort of got his attention. And now this bush was really burning. It's like, Moses, you are bothering me. Go. I want you to go. I want you to do it. Moses, why do I feel so strongly about this? Because I'm hearing the suffering of my people and I need you to go. Stop it. Your excuses. And I feel that that's the same with us today. God is disturbed about what's happening around us. And he's saying, I need somebody. I can't do anything if you don't go. I want you to be disturbed with me. Because you only get it when you give it. And Moses got it. When he went where God sent him, he got his ultimate reward. He got God himself. Imagine that. God in his glory for 40 days. I mean, God had experiences with God that no man has ever had. Why? Because he was willing to go. To go. So, excuses. Let's leave the excuses aside. God is able to overcome every excuse. Another one, fears. Another reason why people do not give. We're afraid. Do you know what is probably the greatest sickness in humanity today? The greatest sickness? I believe it is walls around our hearts where we cut the people out next to us. We are not willing to open our hearts to feel the pain of somebody next door. Because we're afraid to feel pain. Who likes pain? Nobody. We don't like pain. But you see, you'll never get disturbed in a godly way until you feel pain. Let me explain. I'm going to tell you, by the end of next week, you need to get 100,000 rand together. Are you excited? Yes. And you're going to say, no way, man. I'm not going to mess around my program for that. But let me sketch another scenario. Your wife needs a transplant. And you need 100,000 rand by the end of next week. Are you going to make work of it? Definitely. Why? Because you're involved. You feel the pain. She cried on your shoulder. You know what it feels like, what she's going through. You're feeling the pain and you cannot cut it out. So you will do anything to get the 100,000 rand. You'll get it. You'll go wherever. You'll beg. You'll go to rich uncle. You'll go wherever. You'll beg. I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back over 20 years. I don't care. But I need the money for my wife. You're disturbed. You're disturbed. And I believe that our greatest sickness is that we're so focused on self, we have all these walls around us, causing us to block out the pain of people around us, to block out the suffering of people, to block out the plight of those around us. We will not get disturbed, no matter what. We will not. We will be in control. We will not be emotional. We will not allow it to touch us. We will not be disturbed. And I believe that is probably one of the greatest sicknesses. I don't want pain. I don't want to be involved in everybody's pain. I don't want to experience. I don't want to be there. But I feel God is saying, I wanted you to be disturbed. I want you to feel what I feel. Because God feels every single person's pain on the face of this earth. He feels it intimately. He is there. He knows it. But He wants us to feel it as well, so that we will act. A guy called Peter Pretorius, he is the head of Jesus Alive Ministries. He once preached in our church in Stellenbosch, and he told the story. He was a tobacco farmer. He was far away from God. And then at the age of just after 40, 41, 42, his dad was terminally sick in hospital. And he says he sat in the car, and for the first time in his life, he says outside the hospital, he was breaking down, just crying out to God, saying, God, if you heal this man, I will serve you. And then God sent another church's leadership to come and pray for his dad, and his dad was instantly healed. But that guy, he was in his 40s, never went to church. He's a tobacco farmer. I mean, he was smokes, which isn't so bad, but he really smoked. And he was really far away from God. But then God started to work in his heart a beautiful work. He started to minister for his work laborers on his farm. And God just did amazing miracles, started to save people and touch people. And then the one time he says in 1984, he went to Mozambique. Place's name is Pambasa. And he says there was a food distribution center in that area, in that place. And so for some reason he wanted to go there. So he went to another part in Mozambique. And then somebody in a small aeroplane took him, flew him there, dropped him off, and just left. So he was in the middle of nowhere at a food distribution place where there is no food. No food. The guy just left. The plane left. They didn't say when they're coming. He's got no food. He's got no water. He's got nothing. No, not even an extra change of clothes. He's got nothing. And there is 32,000 people at this distribution center, and there is no food. They are starving. And he is there. He said that changed his life forever. He was there for 10 days. There was no food. There was 30 people a day that died of those 32,000. He dug the graves himself, shallow graves, put these people in every day. He got disturbed that day, that week, those 2 weeks. He shares how his heart broke for these people dying in his arms. And you see, he had a passion for preaching the gospel and sharing with people about Jesus. But he says when he left there, he just realized, we need to give them food. And so he started joint action or joint aid management. They are feeding 500,000 children every day in Mozambique and Angola, now 25 years later. Now, why did this happen? Because the man got disturbed and he got a glimpse of the love of God. And he just said, I'm going to make a difference. I am going to make a difference. But so often we cut out. We don't want to feel. We don't want to feel. And we don't want to give. But I tell you, it's only when you give it that you're going to get it. It's only when you give it that your life will mean so much more than anything else you can ever have imagined. That's when our lives become significant. It's when we become disturbed. And we say, I'm going to make a difference. Now think about this. I mean, you don't have to go to Mozambique to see to see challenges. I mean, there were 32,000 people starving. Now, what about just here in East London? How many thousands of people are here that aren't in necessarily physical poverty? Maybe they are. Maybe there are quite a few that are. But how many are in spiritual poverty? How many are dying on a daily basis of spiritual starvation? Just people around us. But you see, I'm trusting that God will open our eyes that we may see. That we may get His heart. Because you see, the only thing that will get you and me out of our excuses and out of our complacency and out of our passivity is one thing. The love of God in our hearts. It's going to get you to share with somebody. It's going to get you to give to somebody. It's going to get you to change your program. It's going to get you involved somewhere. Even in this church. To get involved. To see lives changed. But it's only when you give it that you're going to get it. As long as you don't give, as long as you don't position yourself in a place where your heart can be touched, in a place where you can give, you're not going to get it. You're never going to get excited as I am up here. You're going to always think, man, this guy's crazy. What's he so excited about? It isn't so important. It isn't so whatever. But if you start giving, if you start feeling, if you start experiencing the plight, if you're there, then you're committed. And love will cause you to act. Love demands action. Love demands action. It's, for instance, for me with some of these young people in town. Sometimes I think when I do the Bible studies, I think, what am I doing here? Maybe I could have invested my time better to grow the church. I mean, these people can't bring in any money. Huh? That sounds sick, I know. But that's how many people think. They position their ministry in a way to get the money. And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to be anywhere else because I'm involved. I think I like them. I very much like them. I love them. And I understand what they're going through. And I want to be there so they can go and know the fullness of God. But if you're there, if your heart gets touched, there's no backing out. But it's only when you give it that you're going to get it. Self blocks the love of God. But I believe selflessness unleashes. I believe the love of God unleashes the grace of God. The love of God causes us to break out of our selfishness. We're all selfish on one level or another. I'm not preaching you tonight. I am disturbed where I am at. I am disturbed in the way I spend my time. I am disturbed in the way I'm wasting so much of my time. I'm thinking, God, I could do so much more. I could do so much more. I believe you could too. I know you can. Get a divine burden. Get a divine burden from above and say, God, where do you want me to position myself? It can be packing chairs. It can be help to facilitate a small group. It can be join coming to the prayer meetings. You want to get a divine burden? Come and pray with us. Allow the Spirit of God to move in your heart. It's when you give there when you're going to get it. There are so many places where you can start. And God takes us slowly. Slowly, slowly, slowly. He's not going to ask of you what you can't give. He works slowly. So don't be afraid. As I said, fear is what keeps us back. But the love of God keeps us, causes us to break out. Okay, so those are a few excuses that we make. We can say, I'm too busy. We can say, whatever. How do you feel? Think? How does God feel about excuses? Do you think He goes for excuses? I don't know. I've had many excuses. Myself, giving excuses. It grows when it flows. It grows when it flows. I'm almost finished. Matthew 19, verse 29. It says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold. Say hundredfold. Yeah, you're still there. And inherit eternal life. And many who are first will be last. And the last first. Now this is going to shock you. Guess who says this? Jesus. What? I'm sure God doesn't expect us to make sacrifices. Not if I read that. It says, everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold. It says, you will in this lifetime receive a hundredfold. Not necessarily 100 houses, but 100-fold more valuable stuff. As in a marriage that works, peace, joy, and maybe a house or two as well. God is faithful. He looks after us. But sometimes He asks us to first give it before you can get it. I mean, this guy, Peter Pretorius, he was a multimillionaire in the beginning 1980s. Multimillionaire. Huge farms. Huge, huge farms. He sold it all and started Jesus Alive Ministries. Because he had a cause. He had a cause. And don't worry, I'm not there yet either. Okay, so I'm not pointing the finger, I'm me, preaching to me. Am I willing to sacrifice for the will of God? You see, God is not as sentimental as you and I sometimes think. For instance, there's this one guy that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I just quickly want to go bury my father, my dad. I'm going to come and follow you. What was the response? Shocking. That should disturb you. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you come and follow me. Ha! Oh, Jesus! This isn't the Jesus that we preach about and talk about. Gentle, mild Jesus. No. He's saying, I'm not as sentimental as you might think. I am disturbed about the need that is in the world. And I want it to be addressed. I shared a few times the last few weeks, I shared about you are a hose pipe. Okay, so let's say that again. I'm a hose pipe. Yes, you're a hose pipe. How does it work? You plug into the tap and the water runs through you, but you're just the hose pipe. You're just the pipe. You're just the vessel. You are not the waters themselves. God gives the waters, but you're just the water flowing through you. Just a hose pipe. Okay? But it grows when it flows. So try this. You can go test it at home. I should have brought a hose pipe. Plug the front. Open the tap. And see. There's no flowing, is there? No. So there's nothing more coming in. Because it's blocked. So basically, a silly example, but how it works is, when you give it, God's going to give you more. When you give it, when the hose pipe is distributing the living waters of God, then the hose pipe will increase because God is going to give you more. How do you get more? You be faithful with what you have by giving it away. I'm not trying to get anybody's money. I'm talking about yourself. I'm talking about yourself. It grows when it flows. Be faithful with what you have by giving it. Faithful with your time. Faithful with your talents. Faithful with your life by giving it. So many of us are saying, oh, I'm struggling. I don't have faith. And, oh, I've got so much healing to be done in my heart. And, oh, I've got so many baggage that's been coming with me through all the years. Do you know how you deal with it? Go give. Go bless somebody else. Go pray for somebody that has an issue or a need or a desire or whatever. But I tell you, I've seen it. I've had so many issues, but then I just go give and I get healed as I give. It's amazing. I get it when I give. I grow when I give. Are you giving? Where are you at? Are you giving? You see, when you give it, you're going to get it. What you're going to explain what you're going to get. I'm amazed. The first time I shared with somebody what Jesus has done in my life, it increased my faith. It built up my faith. I got it. I got a revelation. I got an understanding of what God has done in me. If you give it, you're going to get it. And then just to end off with, a sacrifice of self. A sacrifice of self. Do you know why there are certain movies why what us men especially love? You know, Gladiator, Braveheart, Matrix, maybe there as well, don't know. But in Gladiator, there are few things as inspiring as when the man lays down his life for the cause. And we're all cheering. applause, standing ovation. What a boiki. We are inspired. And then we put the TV off and then we go do nothing. The whole point is that it is so inspiring, and we all want to applaud because inside of us, we are designed, we are built to give our lives for a cause that is bigger than ourselves. We are designed for it. We are made for it. That is when our lives have true significance. It's something, especially in us men, a heartbeat. We want the noble cause. Guys, we've got something so noble here. There aren't enough words in this world to explain how noble it is to live for Christ and to lay down our lives for Christ. Not necessarily, you're not going to die in South Africa. They don't kill us these days for preaching the gospel. But you might die by giving off your time or by looking like a fool to stand up in your workplace and say, I believe, I follow Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ and I don't do those things. Now that's going to cost you. But if you give it, you're going to get it. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Say deny. 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 Take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, I don't exactly understand that scripture. And I don't know exactly how it should fit for your life. But Jesus is saying, this is the way of following me. And it's not a depressed, oh, it's terrible. It's, praise God, I'm going to die for Jesus today. I'm going to give myself for the cause. I'm going to see lives changed. Our lives become significant in the context of giving. That's when our lives become significant. And I want to just share this again. There's something I just clicked about the cross. You have the cross? North, south, east, west. Everything comes together right here at the cross. Context comes at the cross. Eyesight comes at the cross because that's where self is laid down. And then we see. Then the walls come down. That is when life starts. Christianity makes sense. Coming to the cross. How do we come to the cross? It is the place of sacrificial giving. It is the place of laying down our lives. That is where the supernatural enters the natural realm. Right there at the cross where we lay down and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm laying down my priorities. I'm laying down my selfishness. I'm laying down me, Lord. Please help me. Because I can't do this in my own strength. But a sacrifice of self is what God requires through Scripture. And only God can explain to you. The Holy Spirit can explain to you how that works. But a sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it's a sacrifice. A sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it's a sacrifice. Okay, so to help us all along the way, as you know, we have a 3-day fast. Timing, man. This is amazing. It just works together. An opportunity for you to give of yourself. There are few things as powerful as fasting where you deny self. You say, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. I'm just going to drink water and maybe a little bit of juice. I'm going to lay down self because I'm trusting that God will take my life out of this place of selfishness and this fear of feeling and experiencing pain. I want to break out. I want to break out of these walls. I want to break out of this selfishness. And I want Christ to live in me and through me. How? For 3 days, I'm just going to put food aside. I'm going to pray. I'm going to humble myself before God. I'm saying, God, please disturb me. It gets you over self. Please disturb me. It gets you to talk to somebody about Jesus. Please disturb me. It's going to get you to reprioritize your life. And only the Spirit of God can explain to you how that exactly works. I can't. I can just sort of help this disturbing thing along. There are many ways of dying to self. A wife serving her husband as if unto Jesus, as if it's Jesus Christ, without complaining. A husband serving his wife or children as unto God, as if it is Jesus Christ, without complaining. That's a good way of dying to self. There are many ways. And what will you get? You will get a divine reward one day. But you will stand up. This is what I'm going for. Now you know, I'm ambitious, really ambitious. I want to stand before Jesus one day. I want Him to say, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want. And in the process, I'm going to get blessed on earth as well. Because as you give it, you're going to get it. As you give it, your life will start becoming significant. As you give it, you're going to get it. And that just sort of rhymes so lekker, don't you think? And I'm praying, I'm trusting, I've been praying this whole weekend. That's why I've been walking the beach, because I am sort of disturbed with how little disturbed I am. I am disturbed that I can go through my life, small little things every day, and not feel the pain, not experience, not have the heart of God right here. Because I believe that's when my life will be and mean something significant. So I just want to pray for us. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this noble cause. To live for you, Lord. And in a sense, to die for you, to die to self for you. And so, God, we realize, Lord, it's only by your Spirit, God. And it's only by your help. It's only by the love of God poured out into our hearts that we will break out of this trap of the enemy. Self. Selfishness. Me, myself, and I. And God, we confess that we cannot do this. I is too weak. I isn't strong enough. I is too selfish and self-preserving to lay down, to give, to sacrifice. And so, Father, we pray that you'll do a miracle in our lives, Lord. Do a miracle in our lives, God. Because you are hearing the cries of masses of people saying, help. God, help us. And so you desire us to feel what you feel. And I pray, God, that we will feel what you feel. So I want to ask you, if you feel convicted in your heart, you're disturbed that you are not disturbed. You realize that the love of God is not overwhelming your heart and you're just really living for self. If you feel convicted about that, would you please stand with me, because I'm already standing. Only God can do this in us. God, we praise your name. So just come tonight, God, to bring our hearts before you, Lord. Just take a moment, just pray, just where you're standing now. Just bring your heart before the Lord. Just share it with Him. Just saying, God, this is where I'm at. But I want to change. don't know how, but I want to change. I want to feel what you feel. Jesus. Would you be so bold to pray to God and say, Lord, disturb me. Disturb me. Don't know what I'm saying, God, but I just feel you want us to say it. Repeat after me as I pray and just say, Father God, Lord, I feel confronted with the magnitude of the need. I feel confronted, Lord, with what you are requiring of me. God, I feel intimidated. And so I ask, Lord God, give me the grace. Give me the empowerment to feel what you feel and to live for you with everything within me. Lord God, this day, I commit my life into your hands. And I pray that you'd lead me step by step at the pace that I can handle. But lead me, Lord, to a place of giving, to a place of sharing, to a place of laying down my life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we all stand? We'll just end off with a song. Do we have a song? Let's just focus on the Lord. And I just feel God is wanting to take us into a time of just putting the excuses aside. Just laying down our lives for him, by repenting, by just turning, just giving our lives to him every day. Hallelujah. Song of consecration.
Give you my soul.
encourage us. God works at us from where we are at. So don't be afraid. Just say, God, just show me the next step. Whatever that may be. Just the next step. God won't ask you to sacrifice everything if you're actually only supposed now to give 1 hour a week. I don't know. Whatever God leads you to do. So just bear that in mind. It's a process of growing. But giving, we need to give. And so I want to encourage us tomorrow evening or this 3-day fast. Guys, let's go for it. And let's do it right if you can. Just allow God to stretch you a bit. And let's come tomorrow evening and let's take this further. Let's go into a time of just bringing our hearts before God. Tomorrow evening, 6:30, we're going to be here. And we're just going to bring our hearts before God. And if you really can't fast, and if you really can't, I mean, just put off Sermon the Lawn for 3 days. But come pray with us if you really can't fast. That's fine. That's where you are at, fine. But I want to encourage you, go for it. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. And then I just want to last thing. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never committed, there's a moment in time where you say, God, I now give my life to you. You have no idea what that means. You will find out. But it's glorious. It is the most amazing thing to say, God, I'm giving you my life. Because then you're going to get it. You're going to get eternal life. You can go to heaven. Yay. You're going to get peace. You're going to get joy. And a bit of persecution with it. But I want to encourage you. Make the decision today. To say, God, I'm giving you my life. It is the most glorious thing ever. That day. That moment. You give your life to Jesus. Jesus saves. Guys. Jesus saves. I want to tell you, you've been serving God for 20 years, I don't care. But so many of us don't believe that Jesus saves. I want to tell you, Jesus saves. Atheists, antagonists, agnostics, big sinners, little sinners, Jesus saves. And I believe we're going to see it in our midst. So if there's anybody that wants to commit their lives to the Lord, you're very welcome. Come and speak to me afterwards. Or just go tonight, go home and go pray and give your life to God. Just pray it aloud and say, God, I give you my life. Save me. Hallelujah. I just want to end off with a prayer. Father, we thank you for a wonderful evening. We thank you for the work that you're starting in our hearts. And we say, God, let it be. Have your way. Do a miracle on the inside of us. And lead us forth to the glory of your name. And all of God's people say, Amen. Next week, Sunday, Fred May is going to be here. Dit gaan koop. Guaranteed. I know. So please bring some friends and some coffee and things there. If you're visiting us, just hold on. If you're visiting us, please fill in a card, put it there on the table. I'd love to email you or send you some information about the church. The Lord bless you. If you need prayer, please come. I'm here.